You've heard of BetaShares. You've probably seen the logo on our podcast. You might even be among their 1 million investors. So you can imagine that I'm delighted to say BetaShares is the official ETF partner of the Australian Finance Podcast. With nearly 100 exchange-traded funds, you can go to betashares.com.au and immerse yourself in ETFs and unique insights covering all of the sectors, themes, core and satellite positions you could want. Think cybersecurity through the HACK ETF, robotics and AI with the RBTZ ETF, and uranium with the URNM ETF. The list goes on. To explore the BetaShares ETF range, visit betashares.com.au, read the relevant PDS and TMD on the website, and consider if the fund is right for you. BetaShares Capital Limited is the issuer.
Hey there, here's a quick note. This podcast contains general financial advice only. That means it's not specific to you, your needs, goals, or objectives, so don't act on the information until you've spoken with your financial advisor. You'll find our full disclosure, disclaimer, and link to our financial services guide in the show notes.
Hello, I'm Kate Campbell.
And I'm Owen Rask.
And you're listening to the Australian Finance Podcast.
A podcast where we talk about money, finance, investing, and all that good stuff.
We're helping you invest your time and money better one podcast episode at a time.
Yes, so please subscribe if you like the series. And don't forget you can find us on social media. We're on all the platforms. Kate, where can people go?
You can find us on Instagram and Twitter at Rask Australia. That's R-A-S-K Australia.
Mm-hmm. And I'm Owen Rask on Twitter, or Owen Rask AU on Instagram. Beware the imitators. People like to copy us. Without further ado, let's jump in to today's episode. Kate Campbell, welcome to this special episode of the Australian Finance Podcast.
Every episode special around here, Owen, but welcome back.
It is. Evan, welcome back to the show, mate.
Thanks. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
It's Thank you for having me back, as always. I love sitting down with you, T, because somehow you managed to make me talk like no tomorrow. So buckle up for those of you listening.
Oh, we always have a bit of fun. But in today's episode, as part of our summer series, where we're trying to keep it a little bit lighter and give you some entertainment and resources.
Infotainment,
as Glenn James would say, over January, we've got 6 books plus a few bonuses that you might want to read over the summer or... Mm-hmm. During 2023 in general.
Yeah, yeah. Even if you're not a reader, there's some books in here that are easy to break down, including a very special one. And for those of you on the camera, you'll be able to see this.
My book. Yes. Yes, it's my book, Mind Over Money. Very easy to read, very conversational.
Yep.
Because my other book that I'm going to recommend is not that, but it is something that I think you need to read all the time. So we'll get to that in a minute. But thank you so much for, yes, having my book here. It's I do hope that those of you that buy it do enjoy it. It's been a whirlwind tour and I'm really excited by it.
And yeah. I hear Evan likes fan mail, so.
I do like fan mail. Doesn't everybody? I know you guys love fan mail. I've seen your fan mail. But yes, I do like fan mail. It's nice. I'd also like, you know, not just fan mail. I'd like to hear, you know, negative feedback to understand why. Because the only way you get better is to understand what you haven't done right or what people don't like. And that is just as good as good feedback. So if you've got a negative one, I'm happy to hear it as well, because it means I get better, the person that writing in gets better. That's a win, right? So the whole idea of these things and these discussions is how to work as a unit to get better, knowing that, as I say in my book, everybody's unique, everybody's individual. So there will always be and should always be different ways of doing things. But if you can get as many inputs into your head, it'll help. Mm. And I know you're very good at that. And having listened to many podcasts you've been on, not just your own one, and same with you, Kate. So,
yeah.
Well, you've kicked us off with some deep philosophical insights, Evan. But if people are listening and wanting to read something on the book, what should they think about?
So the way I would come to it, I'm going to use my headline of my second chapter, which is You Are You, I Am Me. So the way I think about that is that you will read so many different finance books and investing books and personal finance and behavior and whatever. Why I say You Are You, I Am Me is that you're coming to an area that everybody touches. The whole world touches some form of finance. Some people try and argue against that, but you know, whether you like it or not, finance touches all of your lives. So why I say You Are You, I Am Me is that your input into your life will be completely different to me. You might even be similar, but still be different. And that means that you need to think about, okay, what do I think? Why do I think that way? How do I view money? What does money mean to me? How has my relationships, my past, my upbringing influenced my view on money? Because as soon as you can start opening your mind, it might not even be my book too. So I want to point that out there. It's not just my book, because I will also make it very clear. I don't necessarily have the answer, but I have paths. right? I have paths, because a lot of finance books will try and tell you this is the answer, ignoring the fact that you are you.
Yeah. Mm.
And that's what I mean by you are you, I am me. So I know what I am. I have had 25 years of running around since I was in my teens working that out. And it's really weird because not only that, this year I'm now 21 years out of school. Yeah, I know. That hurts me.
Any drinking happening?
That hurts me. So I've had lots of time to work that through. So when you're reading, when you're doing your thought process, it's about going, okay, that's an interesting idea. That's an interesting idea. Would that work for me? Yes, no. Some of that might not. I like this idea. I don't like that idea. And as soon as you have that mindset, you can then open yourself up to lots of things. So I know you guys talk to a lot of guys in the FIRE community. I know you guys talk to a lot of people in the active manager community, the passive manager community. In my view, all of that is actually really, really useful, because the FIRE community, removing the RE bits, the retire early, the financial independence part is pretty much standard across the board. Mm. Everybody's trying to achieve that. It's sort of part and parcel of what you're here to do.
For sure.
It's also about recognizing what I love with them is that a lot of people are actually probably financially independent already. They just don't realize it. And that's why I love FIRE. Active management, the reason I love active management is that was my background. I know, Owen, it's your background too, and you two still do it. It's about getting into the nitty-gritty, about enjoying the research, enjoying the understanding about what you're doing, what you're investing, how one company is better than another or what have you, making sure that you're not, and then it comes to my world, things like anchoring, things like, you know, you then put in holistic sort of simplifications, all those kind of things. Active management's great for that. And then passive gives you this bedrock, in my view. That's the stuff you lock up. You can then go, I've got a core group of holdings, core satellite process, whatever you want to call it, doesn't matter. All of that fits into it. So long-winded question, which it shouldn't have been, was that, yeah, come with an open mind, because my way is not necessarily the right way. It's not the wrong way either. But I've also found doing this has opened my mind. And as I said, I've been doing this for a long, long time and I'm still learning and I enjoy that. And as soon as you embrace it, man, it's such a good process.
Mm. Absolutely.
Yeah. And there's something to be learned, I think, from all of the books we're going to share today. And I might kick it off with one book that I read close to the end of 2022, which was called 4,000 Weeks, Time and How to Use It by Oliver Berkman. And I read this while I was on holiday and I just found it a really insightful book.
I love how you read things on holidays. That's amazing.
Holidays is the best time. Yeah. Well, sometimes you just don't have time to really sink into a book and spend 5 hours reading at once. Like generally during the year, I don't have time to just spend 5 hours reading a book.
Mm. Yes.
In one go. It's all in fragments, half an hour in the evenings.
As a person with two kids, I don't have 5 hours, period. But so my question for you on it is, it's obviously quite a big book. There's quite a lot of very, very interesting in-depth concepts.
Yeah, and a lot of footnotes and resources at the end.
Right. Mm. So what was your big takeout?
My big takeout was that you're never going to have enough time to do everything on your bucket list, on your to-do list, and you should just come to terms with that and stop letting it make you miserable and instead embrace the fact that you have a finite amount of time and then prioritize what you want to prioritize.
So is it also about simplifying the amount on your list, bringing down your processes to going, this is what's going to make me happy? Is that how it also worked?
Yeah. And just like, you're not going to have time to do everything. So stop having a million things on your to-do list, really.
So therefore, the question for you then is, what have you taken off your not to-do list?
A lot of things I took off my to-do list because I realized they'd been on there for months. And therefore, if it wasn't done in the last few months and nothing happened, well, is it that important to me? Probably not. Mm. So some of them I could take off. Some of them were still things I had, like manual life admin, that I just had to get out of the way and had to do because no one else is going to do it for me. So one of the things he suggests is having like a holding pen for tasks and only putting three tasks that you're going to do, and you can't put any more on your to-do list until you've ticked one of them off, and you can move something from the holding pen to the active list of three tasks.
Lovely. So is this now a new sort of philosophy, way of life for you?
Because I just always had never-ending to-do lists. And even after talking to Nir Eyal from who wrote Indistractable on the podcast a year or two ago, I thought that would help, but it didn't. So I kept having those endless to-do lists. So now I've like, no, it's got to stop. 2023, no more endless to-do lists. Mm. I'm just going to have like three things that this is what I'm going to do today. And once I tick them off, I can move more things into that list.
I'm going to, you might not know the answer, but I'm going to ask you anyway. So it's called 4,000 weeks. Why?
He estimates that the average
lifetime? Like,
yeah. Based off, I think, 80 something years.
Yeah.
And so that's how many weeks.
I assume that's what it was. But yeah. He's basically trying to say that you've got 4,000 weeks in your life. So prioritize. Is that basically the principle?
Yeah. He pretty much said, like, most people will never actually live just for 4,000 weeks. It'll be a bit more or a bit less. But the title grabs your attention in the fact that you have a finite amount of time. So how are you going to use it to make you happy, to make the world better, et cetera?
Mm-hmm.
This is a good quote here. Kate's highlighted, for those of you that are watching the video, you see me hold it up, but Kate's highlighted a section. I love these bits because I do dog ears and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah. Oh, he treats books so badly. And he scribbles all over them with books.
Are you a spine breaker? Like, are you a spine breaker?
Oh, well, yes. You'd be fair to say, like, I grab the book and just chucking it everywhere. Anyway, this highlighted section says, arguably, time management is all life is. That's pretty telling of the book.
All we have is the here and now.
All we have is this 4,000 weeks or thereabouts. So make the most of it.
I'm going to jump in there. My line is, the only thing you can do with money is gain time.
Yeah.
Like, money is to help you gain time. You can't buy it, but, and that's a quote from Charlie Munger and also from Warren Buffett. But my argument is that money gives you time, and that's the most important thing. And that's where financial autonomy, financial independence, whatever you want to call it, comes from, is that if you can gain time by doing what you want when you want, it's an absolute win, and it will make you so much happier. And I assume that's exactly what Oliver's trying to prove in that book too, to some extent. Although it's much more holistic and much more broad away from our industry.
It's definitely, if you want a deep and meaningful read for the summer, that would give you a different way of thinking in the year to come. What about you? Any books for us?
Yeah, I'll give a recent one. Someone who appeared on the show recently. We love having authors on the show. So Dave Gow,
who's, shock horror,
who's the author of Strong Money. So a lot of people will know Dave from, he's written a bit for us. He's obviously got his own blog, did the podcast as well, and also did some writing for Perla. And he's got a book under the same title, Strong Money Australia, How to Gain Financial Independence, Escape the Rat Race and Create a Life of Freedom. Now, I don't have the physical book in front of me because they're all on order, but there is a particular part of the book where Dave shares his story. He's originally from country Victoria. He left with a mate about 18 years of age with $800. He went to Perth, and of all things that he was doing over there, he went there for the money because he didn't know what to do, and he thought, oh, well, there's great jobs over there. This was in the mining boom.
Mm-hmm.
And he started working in an air conditioning factory, which didn't have any air conditioning itself, which is quite ironic. And he saved up a bit of money and ended up getting fired from the job. And I can't remember the exact quote, but it was something to the effect of, we don't need you here anymore. And it was really scary for Dave because he was like, well, this is a job. This is what I'm supposed to do. But one thing that he had was an emergency fund of about 20 to 25 grand. And so what he did was, he and his friend, another friend that came over, is he basically took that 25 grand and took the summer off and started to enjoy life as he would want to enjoy it, like, still frugally, but enjoy it. And he realized in that summer the power of financial independence. So it was a very, like, short glimpse into what could be if you have, as you said, to get that control back in your time, Evan.
Yep.
And then he basically went on a path, so a journey from about 18, 19 years of age till 28 is when he retired, air quotes, financially independent. This is the contentious part of FIRE, which is the retirement part. And for a lot of people, it means many different things. And as you said before, Evan, the thing that he does now is he spends a lot of his time in nature. So he helps save baby turtles. He spends time, you know, going in the park, walking his dog, spending time with friends and family. And he also does things like write a book, or he does blogging and still does all these things that he wants to do. He just has more choice and control.
Yeah.
And so the book itself is not necessarily like a curriculum. It's just more of an exploration of the key things that he went through. And I think for that, in an Australian context, is really interesting. And if I may, Kate, I might dive straight into my second book, because this actually relates to Dave's journey. So when Dave went on this journey in Australia, the only thing that he could find was Mr. Money Mustache in the US, which is, he's like the OG of FIRE blogging. And the one thing that happened halfway through his journey was Pete Wargent came out with this book, Get a Financial Grip. And Pete Wargent has been on the show before. He's
He's a beautiful man.
Oh, yeah. He's a lovely guy. Man. Yeah, he's got great hair too.
Yes, he does.
Yeah.
Very, very luscious beard too.
You guys are both jealous of the long hair.
Definitely. And Pete is best known for property, but Pete actually was, if you think about it, was probably one of the original fire bloggers here in Australia before it was called fire. I mean, there's been people before him, many people before him, like Peter Thornhill and so on and so forth. But this book was actually the book that Dave picked up and thought, this is
what I want to do.
This is exactly what I want to do. Now, Pete achieved financial independence in probably the shortest time I've ever seen it, but he had a very well-paying job, which he hated. And his version of retirement is still working because he wants to. He finds meaning in helping people invest in property and do all these types of things. He lives in Noosa and he flies around the place. But this book, Get a Financial Grip, you would read this if, again, you wanted to see someone's journey from the inside, from inside their mind. And one of the big takeaways, because just in case you asked this question, Evan, one of the big takeaways from this book is basically how Pete's investment strategy changed through time. So like away from using just property towards using index funds and what we would now have as index fund ETFs. And he also talks about how his wife had the greatest influence on him, which was that when you buy a property, you buy it with the intention of never selling it. And it was that kind of long-term mindset that he adopted from there to get to financial independence and then keep growing his wealth. So a bit more technical than Dave's book, but I would say not overwhelming in the slightest.
No, and I've read it too, and it's brilliant. I know Pete very well. He and I love having online banter. I also get very annoyed when he sits there and posts photo about playing golf with his daughter, because I just sit there and go, that is just so frustrating. One of the things that I love about what Pete puts in there is about channeling your own journey, but also learning the stories. And he loves a story. Pete's always been a great storyteller, and that's why it's a beautiful book to get your head. It is a little bit more technical, but it gives you options in terms of how you think about it. And again, there was going to be the key theme out of it, in my view, is diversification is everything. It's property, it's index funds, it's bonds, it's having cash. And it's very close to my heart, because what he talks about, and you just said it again, it was the question I had to ask you, his biggest takeout is understanding time.
Yeah.
Right? His thing is his properties that he has are his time management of income. So he's got investment properties that are paying him income constantly, and as far as he's now concerned, almost forever, because he probably won't sell a lot of his properties unless something forces him to do it, and he talks about that. But he's also open to the principle idea that if he has to slightly move his strategy around, he will.
Yeah.
And that's what he's learned as well. So great book. Pete, big fan of the show. And as you can hear, a bit of a fan as well. So
yeah.
All right, Evan, I think it's your turn.
It is my turn. I'll come back to my book in a minute, because I think we've talked about that. I actually want to go a little bit more dense, partly because the guy's a bit of a hero for me. So for those of you that – I don't have it with me, but for those of you who haven't seen it or have seen it but have been afraid – I think that's the word to go near it.
It's probably on a lot of people's bookshelves, the book you're about to mention.
It is Thinking Fast and Slow. So Daniel Kahneman is, as I said, a bit of a hero of mine. The man's thought processes are incredible. The studies that he's done, I mean, there's a reason he's got a Nobel Prize. And the coining of the term loss aversion and how that all works. Why I say it, so getting back to Kate's point about what we're doing this for this part of the year, and obviously you should be on a beach, hopefully, or doing something summary, is I normally with that book will flick it, and where my finger stops, I'll read from there. I might go back to the start of that chapter, but I'll read it from there. And I'll only read 10, 15, 20 pages because it's dense. I'm not going to hide that fact. It is quite dense. You need to be in a mood to read it, but it is incredible, because what he proves in his studies, what he proves in that book, is very much against my background of economics, which is, you know, one of the best things I love to talk about is hyperbolic discounting. And why I say that's this, I'm going to mold over Kate on you with my book as well, is that human beings are actually geared to the front end. And by that, I mean, we think that we should be getting everything inside a very short period of time. So human beings are more likely to think they deserve 20% per annum. But when you ask them what they think their superannuation should get per annum, they'll probably tell you it's about sort of 5 to 10%. So why does the longer term investment have a lower return than tomorrow's investment? And it's a human nature thing. And Carmen talks about this principle, about the idea that actually we're geared towards bigger returns at the front, because that is actually a physiological thing. You know, your yield from going and hunting and gathering, in his view, is high. So if you went and actually caught your dinner, right, the yield on that is high when you think about it. And so it translates directly to, you know, we should think that. It's also why in my world, and what I talk about in here, is that the attraction of social media, the character of, like, characterization of human beings through social media is to this principle. It's like, if you do this, you can achieve this in a very short period of time, in a 90-second Instagram video. And it's why so many people get caught out by it, because it's not true. I mean, some people can do it, but not everybody. So Thinking Fast and Slow, it's a beautiful book. It is dense, it's long. It could take you a year to read, and that is fine. But it's one of those things that if you've always got that in the back of your head, it'll help you in so many different ways. And yeah, I certainly talk about it in my book as well. Again, my principle, as I said at the start of this, when Kate asked me the question, you know, you are you, I am me. We've also spoken about another thing there that I have in there, which is I call it the elephant paradigm. So the kid, because I've got kids, you know, what's the old adage of how do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. My idea for the elephant paradigm is reverse it. How do you look at an elephant as a whole? How do you look at your wealth as a whole? And so Pete's book is exactly that idea, same, which is he's got his property, he's got his index funds, he's got his cash, he's got his other properties, but he looks at that as his financial independence and his financial wealth. And that is one of the bigger things that I also try and talk about as well, is that if you can step back and view everything as a bigger picture, it frees your mind, because all of a sudden you don't have that anxiousness. And probably back to your book, Kate, with regards to what Berkman is talking about, which is your ability to have time improves, because you're not worrying about where's my money coming from, what is tomorrow going to be, do I have enough money in my bank account, am I making enough money? Getting back to your book, Owen, about, you know, having that disconnect all of a sudden where you have that really, really good job and it goes bang and disappears, that all of a sudden you realize that your wealth is there. And that's financial independence. That's what the FIRE guys would argue as well, is that if you can actually step away from the current job that you have and realize that you could live off it for a reasonable period of time, 6, 12, 18 months, you're probably financially independent. Because in that period of time, if you do want to go back into work or start a new business like you did, you can do that. So that's why those two books for me. So my book, but particularly obviously looking at Thinking Fast and Slow, is my recommendations.
A lot of the books here on the table, Evan, your book, Mind Over Money, Get a Financial Grip from Pete, 4,000 Weeks, just these books, as well as Thinking Fast and Slow, I feel like the headline says a lot. So when people hear that, Thinking Fast and Slow, what would be the key takeaway from that? Like, I feel like that gives a hint as to one of the really strong insights from the book.
Yeah, and he talks about that slow and fast thinking, and it's the same, probably actually just looking at what you've just said, Kate, about 4,000 weeks, understanding that you need to be thinking about the long term and the short term. You need to be thinking that your mind can be racing now, but it needs to be slow enough to understand where time comes into it. It needs to also realize that when you think fast, your simplification is through the roof. So heuristic simplification is through the roof, because it's a natural thing to think fast, right? We make 35,000 decisions every day, and almost all of them you don't think about, which is fast thinking. And it's because you've naturally learned how to decide. You know, why did we choose these books? Because we know them, because we love them. And it's just, yeah, bang. What he's trying to say to you is that when you can think slowly and actually step back and go, wait a minute, the reason we love Pete's book is because, and thinking slowly, you'll make a better informed decision. So that's his principle. It's a whole range of things with that. That's why that's one of the greatest titles I've heard, because it encapsulates so many things, encapsulates time, encapsulates thinking, wakes you up to your own biases, wakes you up to, you know, being a little bit more critical. It's not probably not critical thinking. He tries not to use that term, but he does, you know, uses the term about actually analyzing the decisions you make. And that, for someone like me, is something that I adore, because I've always been of the belief when I was younger that, yeah, you know, this is the way, this is the thing, and I wasn't critical enough thinking of things. And it's not that I'm now critical of it. It's now I'm just going, oh, that's an interesting thought. Yeah, that's probably right. But I can also now go, oh, that's an interesting thought. Actually, maybe these people might have a better idea. And it's just that second pause. It's only 1 second, just to go, oh, actually, yeah, okay, that's fine. Mm. Well, yeah, no, well, that, nah, need to think about that a bit more. Need to do a bit more insight into that. Mm. And it will stop you from making a mistake. Because, yeah, fast thinking is good, but it is shortcutting.
Mm. Mm. You can learn a lot just from the titles of these books alone, I reckon.
What about this one?
Okay, this is a book I probably read 2 years ago, but I thought it was worth a mention. It's called Hype by Gabrielle Bluestone. She was a journalist and also involved with all the research for the Netflix doco on the Fyre Fest. She's done a lot of research into scammers, financial frauds, not always finance, but most frauds involve some form of money, I think.
The title is, you know, fraud is some form of finance. Yeah.
Yeah. So I just think this is a important book to read as a reminder. Anything about whether you read a podcast or watch a Netflix doco, I think once a year, reminding yourself that even very smart people get scammed, even very smart people fall for frauds. And it's a good way to maybe just check your beliefs about things, because you don't want to fall prey to a scam or a fraud. There's things going around all the time. You get the texts from Commonwealth Bank, like, log into your account, when it's really from a fake number. You're going to get emails. Your data might get leaked. You might put your money in an account that's actually off in the Cayman Islands and belonging to a scammer. So it's a good book to... She talks about a lot about the Fyre Fest, but also lots of different scams and frauds over the last maybe 5 or so years.
Outside of Fyre, what was the other most standout story?
You're going to push my memory here, Evan. This is about 2 years ago, but yeah. I did remember I liked the book.
Fake it till you make it.
Yeah, I think she talked about Theranos and Elizabeth Holmes as well, which you've got a TV show and a documentary, and Bad Blood, the book by John Carey.
And how many podcasts have you got off Theranos? Like, I've listened to most of them. The ABC one's probably the best one. The Dropout is an incredible one. Good. Because, again, what I was going to ask you the next step about this is that, what's also, does she go through the idea about how people become fraudsters? Because Elizabeth Holmes is a fascinating study from the point of view that she, to this day, and she's now been not only found guilty, she's actually been sentenced to 11 and a half years in jail. She still doesn't believe that she necessarily defrauded people, because she was so involved and ended up being so mentally trapped by her principal that she didn't realize that, well, then it's to her eyes, and I don't want to sort of trivialize this, that what she was doing was fine, because the principal outcome she'd already reached, which is that the diagnosis of blood samples from a pinprick would revolutionize the health of the world. So she had an absolutely audacious, brilliant goal. The thing is, the in-between, the actual thing that needed to work, was completely flawed, and she was clearly using money to use a fraud system that wasn't going to work. Does she go through that at all? Does she go through how, you know, people become fraudsters? Because
I believe she does look into the backstory as well.
Yeah, because I think that's the fascinating study, is people don't normally necessarily go out to become fraudsters. It just sometimes evolves that way. And why does it evolve that way? And Elizabeth Holmes will be case in point. You know, let's be honest, Sam, you know, Bankman-Fried is probably the next story to sort of go into. He's not on the same level as her. She had an audacious goal that she failed at. In my view, you know, FBF is another thing. He's just used a new world product in a very traditional way.
Yeah,
that's the answer with SBF. But that's what my question would be. If you can find a book and if hype's that, go for it, because I think it's a fascinating thing, because it is something that you've always got to have in the back of your head, that fraud is something there. Some people obviously go out deliberately, and we know that, but there are organizations that start with such a bang and such an incredible movement that they lose sight of what they're doing. Some of them get through it and do it well. Some of them don't. I'm going to step back from the book, but I'm going to say this. So the story of somebody like, you know, Mark Zuckerberg and how he started Facebook, now Meta, is not about fraud, but it's about he had a very audacious idea and completely just self-absorbed into it and did not care about the carnage that came behind him in that initial 4 or 5 years. Because you've got to remember, Facebook started in 2003. So it is 20 years old this year, right? 20 years old, and it's now fallen out of the top 20, but until he's decided to, you know, sink ridiculous amounts of money into this Meta world, you know, Facebook was in the top 5 biggest companies on the planet in 20 years. But the first 5 years of his company are incredible. I mean, he was going towards people like Napster, remember? And if you can remember back in the 90s, because I can, you too might not.
I was young, but
yeah,
I remember.
Yeah. Yeah, and so was I. But the 90s, you know, Napster was incredible. Mm. This the file sharing idea of actually being able to share music and, you know, the rise of actually finally digitizing music and using that was incredible. But that was his inspiration, was Napster. And that needs to be pointed out. Napster was the first pinup of, you know, internet fraud. That's what they were doing. They were literally infringement, copywriting, pirating online for the first time.
Yeah. I think it's just a good reminder heading into 2023 that you're never too smart to be scammed or defrauded. Yeah. And it's a good idea to look at things and question and think more slowly before you invest in a financial product or you take someone's advice from the internet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right. Well, they say the road to hell is paved with good intentions. So a lot of
bingo. Great one.
Yeah. So we've got a lot of books in today's episode. Of course, we always recommend our favorites like The Psychology of Money and Just Keep Buying. I really liked reading Die with Zero last year.
Richest Man in Babylon for me.
Yeah. Yeah. Any classics that you love as well, if we throw in some bonus titles here?
So again, Intelligent Investor is obviously always one that you need to have as a backstop.
That's a scary summer read, Evan.
Yeah, but that's all right. Like,
for
again,
the value investors.
For the value investors, it's there for a good reason. Yeah. Like, it really is there for a really good reason. For me, I actually go not necessarily into books. I go into journals and I go into things like that. Like, my morning is completely absorbed by reading investment journal pieces. So I sit there and love reading, you know, expectations for this year, you know, massively just tearing through a Morgan Stanley or a Macquarie or a because I like it. I like to punish myself.
Yeah.
So that would be more my thing, is that if you can get your hands on some investment pieces and read that thought process. Only caveat to this, understand they have an internal house view, and that is fine. It is a way of understanding what may happen this year, but they're always wrong. And that's what I also want to point out.
Hmm.
Forecasting is a mug's game, but we do it constantly because we need to have some form of inverted commas certainty, and that's why I love reading them. So if you can collate them, you probably get a fairly reasonable concept of what 2023 will be. And look, from my economics point of view and my background in you know, strategy, this year's going to be interesting. And you're going to learn a lot. That is a good thing. It will be tough, but it's going to be a good thing to learn what will happen this year. Because in my view, all that's happened is that we basically backtracked what 2020 was supposed to be. 2020 was supposed to be the recession, was supposed to be the, you know, the scorched earth scenario, not scorched earth, but really tough period. And governments and central banks did the right thing, was to say, no, the problem right now is this health crisis that we've got with COVID, but they've just basically prolonged it to now. And so what probably should have happened financially in 2020 and start of 2021 will probably have been end of last year, 2022, and, you know, most of 2023. Mm. Catch, and I'll say it again, we've talked about this, it will end. Time will heal all. And the time longer period, if you think about 2025, 26, 27, 28, this is going to just be another blip this year in terms of the longer term process.
Yeah, I think that you touched on something there which is pretty important for people that want to learn about investing and about yourself, is understanding you can learn. I think there are two ways to learn about investing really quickly, and one is through theory and the other is through application. And so a lot of the books give you theories and stories, but the application is also very important. A lot of people leave that, so like students and for example younger people that put off the application part, they think, well, I don't have money, I'm not ready, I haven't learned enough. Well, sometimes you've got to learn through doing.
Mm-hmm.
And so blending reading books, listening to podcasts with actually doing it is what will give you the most empowerment.
Bingo. And the further on from that, because I can say this because obviously I'm under an AFSL, but the whole principle that we've also been talking about is that does not mean putting everything that you have into investing. Yeah. So that is the other thing you'll learn through all of these books is, again, what I say with my money paradigm, with elephants, you know, what Pete says around how he diversifies, what, you know, you go through the Intelligent Investor and what they talk about, it's diversification. And it is not every single cent that you have. It is understanding, okay, I have 10%, 20%, 5%, whatever it happens to be that I'm ready to now start to invest, and I will not need that money for 5, 10, 15 years, right? Mm-hmm. And that is the money that you can then start to learn from, which is exactly the concept. And once you learn from it and you get more confident with it, then you can add to it.
Mm, for sure. Like it.
Awesome. Well, I guess our challenge to everyone listening this month is to pick one of these books or one of the many books we've mentioned over the 4 years of the show, or just a random book from the internet, but go and borrow it from your library, find it at your local bookstore, go to the op shop, just get one of these books in your hands and have a read this month, and let us know what you learn in the Rascal community. Send us a message on socials. Owen and I love reading books, and we love to hear what you've learnt. So
if you have any recommendations, let us know. And you can get in touch with Evan. You'll find him on Twitter, on Instagram.
Yes, LinkedIn, all of those social media channels. I will respond, I promise.
And the InvestSmart website, you can head there as well. Basically, there's so many ways to reach you. So if you do love Evan's book, he does love to hear from you. So send him a message and share it with your friends. I think it's a really good book to share around because it's such a good exploration of your behavior, which is the key thing here. That's the title of the book, Mind Over Money.
So, your perfect summer read.
Perfect summer read.
I hope so. I hope you got it. Yeah, as I said.
Record that and share that around.
Thank you for that number. But yeah, I'm going to go out and get this hype. I think that looks incredible.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, Evan, thanks for taking some time to join us on the show, mate.
Again, thank you for always having me. I love sitting here. And as you can see, we love to talk.
Yes, we do.
And Kate, as always, thanks for joining me.
Thanks for listening, everyone.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Australian Finance Podcast, where our mission is to improve the financial futures of all Australians. If you'd like to learn more, create a free account at rask.com.au/account to download free episode workbooks, bonus resources, and take our amazing free personal finance courses.
You can also join our online community by following the link in the description. If you enjoyed the show, what we'd love is for you to leave us a snappy review on iTunes. And you can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Rask Australia. Kate and I are also on both of those channels. Finally, if you have any feedback, suggestions for episodes or guests to come on the show, or you just have a question for us, shoot us an email at podcast@rask.com.au. InvestSmart's portfolios are turning 10, and to celebrate, 10 InvestSmart boot camps are up for grabs. This self-paced online course is ideal for both seasoned investors and those who are just starting out. Valued at $99, you could win a spot on this highly rated course. To enter the competition and for terms and conditions, simply visit investsmart.com.au/win. Don't miss out on this chance to learn from experts and take your investing to the next level. Simply visit investsmart.com.au/win. Good luck.
Thanks for listening to this podcast. Before you go, I wanted to share some things with you. Specifically, I wanted to tell you about the 10 ways that Rask could help you in 2024. As many of you know, Rask has grown to become one of the biggest investing and finance platforms in Australia. Across our podcasts, our websites, our memberships, and so on, we now engage around 200,000 Aussies, which, considering we started in a humble lounge room on a Kmart desk, one of those old fake white wooden ones, I'm pretty ecstatic about where we are 6 years later. As part of becoming one of Australia's biggest platforms for wealth creation and preservation, we now have a very special position in the country in that we can bring you some of the best, most thoughtful, expert-driven ways to protect and grow your wealth. And I'm going to share some of those with you now. I've got 10 ways that we can potentially help you or match you with someone who can. The first thing that I want to tell you about is the biggest step we've ever taken at Rask, which is the launch of our Rask Invest platform. This is a platform that lets our team, led by me, invest for you, primarily through low-cost, diversified ETFs. We'll have 3 strategies at launch, and every investor who comes through can pick one of the 3 strategies, being a balanced strategy, a growth strategy, and a high growth strategy. The balanced strategy focuses on passive income, and the high growth strategy focuses on longer term compounding. You will find a link in your podcast player to register your interest. We will be taking off soon. Number 2, if you prefer to DIY your investing, you can join me and over 4,000 members inside Rask Core. That's our full ETF and ASX share research membership community. You can join now
and you'll get updated ETF portfolio recommendations every quarter, as well as ongoing ASX and global stock research. Every single month, we call them the All-Star Stocks. You get that alongside the ETF portfolios, as well as other members-only content. It's called RaskCore. Number three, our first ever partnership with a business other than our own was a business by the name of Blusk, which has since become Flint Group. Flint Group is led by Chris Bates and Christian Stevens, two of Australia's most highly regarded mortgage brokers. Already over 200 RASK community members have begun the RASK plus Flint Group mortgage broking process. You can click the link in your podcast player if you're refinancing, investing, a first home buyer, or whatever. You've probably heard Chris on the show many times. Number four, you can connect with our most trusted financial advisors. Whether you're 25 years old, just graduated uni and looking to set yourself up, or approaching or in retirement and you've got that nest egg you want to protect and generate a passive income from, you can get in contact with our trusted panel of financial advisors. You can find the link in your podcast player. It's there each and every week. Just click the thing that says financial planning. Number five, if you want specialist insurance advice, as Warren Buffett said, rule number one is don't lose money. And rule number two is don't forget rule number one. Insurance is vitally important, especially when it comes to your number one asset, you. Whether you're a single income household or a couple, and you just want to protect what would happen if. You want to protect your family if something goes wrong. You want to protect your spouse if you lose your job. You want to protect yourself if you hurt yourself on the weekend at footy. Insurance is a way to do that. And I think the best way to do insurance is through a financial planner. And there's a few reasons for that. But one of them is sometimes some insurers will only work with financial advisors, but they can also be your companion as you go through the sometimes daunting process of getting insurance done properly. Sometimes you might not even know, but you're not even covered, even though you think you are. So get the right advice. You'll find a link in the show notes to check that out. Number six, buying property. If you're like me and you're thinking of buying property in the next 12 months, or maybe you've already invested and you're looking to downsize, getting the right advice and being able to build wealth through property is a proven strategy. It might be one of the most contentious, but I think that we have one of Australia's best property coaches in our ranks. That is Pete Wargent. Pete is the host of the now super popular Australian Property Podcast by RASK, and he's also my analyst team's macro consultant. So if you're a member of RASKCore, you will have seen Pete's name around the traps. He's a property coach and buyer's agent, and he works with a select number of people each and every year. Just a note on this, this is not a commercial thing with Pete. Pete just has great services, so we offer them to the community. And when he fills up, he fills up. You can find out more about Pete's coaching in the show notes. Next up, tracking your portfolio for tax. I think you are, because I think you have to. So we've partnered with Nevexa to help you manage your share and ETF reporting, whether it's tax or performance. All RASK users get 20% off an annual plan with Nevexa. You can sync your portfolio with Nevexa's software, and it automatically tracks your dividends, your capital gains tax, and more. Again, not a commercial partnership. We don't make anything from working with Nevexa, but they do create some great tools which the RASK community uses each and every day. Number eight, want to run your own business? Maybe you already do. If you want more profit, but less stress, less time consumed, and less energy lost, get in contact. We have a partner business called Inflection. The Inflection Accelerator Program is a complete online course that helps you and a community of members engage and follow a proven strategy for growing your business. I'm grateful to be one of the coaches inside the Accelerator program, helping business owners right across Australia. You can find more following the link in your podcast player. It's the one that says coaching. Number nine, if you haven't already checked it out, join over 20,000 other people who tune into the RASK YouTube channel. It is completely free and you get notified when we go live and when we publish podcast episodes. There is a podcast on the RASK network each and every day, as well as bite-sized material that's less than 60 seconds, or those really punchy tutorials and webinars that are just 15 minutes that take you through a really exciting topic, whether it's how to buy a property, whether it's how to pick a dividend ETF. Some of our most popular content actually just explains things like what the heck is franking credits and how do I calculate if I've got some? That's on our YouTube channel. Number 10, if you want to be a better investor, a saver, a better partner with money, or just understand your own relationship with money, you can do that, all of that, by going to the Rask Education website and taking a free course. We've enrolled over 26,000 students at the time of this recording, and we're on a mission to get to 100,000 in the next few years. Rask Education is our mostly free education platform, covering everything from budgeting and automation to the probably, I would say, the best value investing program in the country. So whether you're a value investor, an intermediate investor, you want to know how to value Woolworths shares, or you simply just want to understand what ethical investing is or buy your first property and what actually happens on settlement day, head to the Rask Education website and enroll in something today. It is free and it supports us, because then I can come on here next month and I can say we've got 27,000. And hopefully we reach critical mass where we can help more Australians manage their money better. Thank you for listening to this long-winded ad. If you want to get in contact with me, you know where to go. There's a link in your show notes. Basically, these 10 services, even though some of them we don't make any money from, support Rask and allow us to produce these podcasts, attract the biggest and best guests from Australia and around the world, and bring them to you to answer your questions. Thank you for being part of the Rask Network, and thank you for your ongoing support. Bye for now.